Hi, Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to episode 396. Now, here's a chance to listen to the story of how one automotive business college prepares students for an automotive career. Now, here's a taste.
We are running about 93% of our graduates get employment either before they graduate or shortly thereafter, and that's higher than any other college program in all of Canada.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, welcome to an interview with Professor John Jackson and business coach Bob Greenwood. I believe this episode will motivate you to continue your strong message to the educators that you work with who are working hard to prepare students for a career in the aftermarket. I know there's a great idea or two in this episode to drive your inspiration to keep you or even get you involved in aftermarket education. Hi, Carm Capriotto here, happy to be presenting the strongest content library of context in the aftermarket. Hey, I want to give you an important reminder. I think it's time to mark your calendar for Apex. You know, shop owners, Apex, it's the one event you just can't miss. Mark your calendar for Tuesday, November 5th through Thursday, November 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. I'll be there looking forward to seeing you. For information, visit aapexshow.com. So glad you've learned how to consume the podcast on your mobile device. But however, if you're listening desktop and want a great mobile aftermarket experience, go to the apps page on the website and learn how. The website is a treasure trove of information from the books page, the archive page, the tag cloud, and the photos page, just to name a few. You can really spend some quality time in the sake of education on the website. Hey, we're ready. Let's go. Now listen to Professor John Jackson from the Automotive Business School of Canada and Bob Greenwood, business coach and the CEO of the Automotive E-Learning Center. We cover a lot of ground, and I believe you'll be impressed with what the Automotive Business School of Canada is doing to educate, intern, and place students into the aftermarket. It is refreshing to see how engaged the program is with industry and learn about their huge scholarship program and their paid work co-op program. Now, Bob and John are friends. You can tell it in the interview, and they support each other. Now, get the key talking points, my guests' bios, and links to their previous episodes at remarkableresults.biz/E396. Now, let's go inside an educational institution. Hey, a warm welcome to Bob Greenwood, AMAM, President and CEO of the Aftermarket E-Learning Center. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Carm.
Of course, your voice is no stranger to the audience, but we have a newbie here. Yes. Oh, I'm so happy to have John Jackson, professor of the Automotive Business School of Canada. Hello, John.
How are you doing?
Great. So you guys are friends.
Yeah, we go back a bit. John has educated me as to the aftermarket.
I beg to differ. I think Bob has done most of the teaching in this case, but we are friends, and we've shared a lot of our ideas over the years.
Well, great. Hopefully, we won't have this big argument here as to who loves who first here. Okay. I do want to get into some of the things that you are doing with John, some great stuff. So, John, a little bit of your background.
Well, I'm a professor at the Automotive Business School of Canada. For many years, we were known as the Canadian Automotive Institute, but we changed and rebranded our school a few years ago to the Automotive Business School of Canada. We're the largest business school of any sort in the automotive industry in Canada. And we have at any moment about 500 to 600 students, many of whom are on co-ops at the moment as we speak. And my role there is to teach about the automotive aftermarket and how it's structured, how the players in the industry work. I also teach the history of automobiles, and I teach about the global automotive industry, something that is of interest to me as well.
Interesting. So you're kind of like the Northwood of Canada.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, I do know some of the gentlemen at Northwood. And we've talked on one occasion here and there at Las Vegas, for example. We meet up when we get a chance. I didn't go this year, but I think that our program is at least as comprehensive as the Northwood program. But, of course, we're a Canadian-based program.
So, Bob, you know any students that are working in the industry, in the areas that you have influence in that have come out of the school?
Fortunately, when I'm in the area, John allows me to come up and address the students for a morning and talk about my perspective of updating in the industry. I'm usually coming in to a student who is maybe in their first year or heading into their second year. And fortunately, I get to have lunch with a few of them and really hear their energy, feel their energy and their enthusiasm for the aftermarket. He allows me to have some great discussions with them. So, you know, John and I have talked about when students do come out, he says, Greenwood, you've got to pick up a couple and bring them into your company. And I said, yeah, you got a good point on that one. I've got to look into this and how we can do it. But they're enthusiastic. And I'll say this right off the get-go. Every time I've been at the college, the respect they have for this gentleman, the kids are just overwhelmed by him. They just love him dearly. And love his classes. They're very enthusiastic about his classes.
Well, before I ever turned on the recorder, Bob, I was having a blast just listening to Professor John. Is that what they call you, Professor John?
Well, it sometimes depends on their marks.
I get that part.
It's Professor Jackson. If it's different, then sometimes I don't know what they call me, but I certainly encourage them to learn as much as they can about this sector, because I believe that so much of personal mobility in the future will be influenced by what happens in the automotive aftermarket.
John, how are you getting students to join the program? What's the recruitment effort?
We have a specialized officer who works 100% of the time with us to do student recruitment. So he goes throughout the region here in the area just north of Toronto where the school is located. We're about an hour's drive north of Toronto, 45 minutes north of Toronto. But we also do recruiting right across Canada. So we have a program. The automotive industry supports that financially by offering us money to do our promotions and our run some of our programs that we have. We get a lot of money from the auto industry, as a matter of fact, and we wouldn't be able to do what we do without the support of the industry. That means both aftermarket as well as the new vehicle, used vehicle, and even the auto finance sector. So we have tremendous support for our school. But, of course, that gives us an opportunity to bring in students from literally every province in Canada. This semester, we actually have a student from every province, as I understand it. And then, of course, we have a large contingent of international students who come to study here. They find us on the internet and come to study in Canada for automotive business and to get the degrees in automotive management.
The students are graduating and going to work in what sectors?
All sectors of the automotive industry, everything you can imagine. That we have a graduate who runs a business that transports new cars up and down the road in those transport trucks. I've got students who are CEOs of their own businesses in the automotive industry, whether they're in the aftermarket or in repair and service areas. We have a lot of students who work in the new vehicle sector. A lot of them go in to work in car dealerships. Work for corporate offices for the major car companies, work in corporate offices for many of the larger aftermarket enterprises. And there are a whole host of other things that our students are capable of doing. We train them for a lot of different things, and that's good because they can sort of find something that matches their own skills and aptitudes. There's something in the auto industry for them, so we're able to find that. We also are the largest or the best program in all of the college programs, including dentistry and massage therapy and all the other important programs that we have at the college. But throughout Canada, we have the largest percentage of graduate employment. We are running about 93% of our graduates get employment either before they graduate or shortly thereafter, and that's higher than any other college program in all of Canada.
What a great number.
You know, it's fantastic. 3 years ago when I was up there, I was having lunch with a student and he was explaining to me how he's enjoying the aftermarket business course that John was doing and saying to me, but my father, you know, really wants me to just come back and take over the insurance company that his father owned. And I said to him, I said, insurance? Well, we need insurance specialists in the aftermarket. He goes, what? I said, yeah, a specialization, whether it's insurance, legal, accounting, this is a unique industry to specialize in, and we need you all. So I said, you wrap your head around that. And he got excited by the end of lunch. He says, I like this kind of thinking. He says, I could continue with my education here, get the best knowledge, and then look how we can specialize in this. That was pretty cool.
Shop owners, Apex has got to be on your calendar for 2019. Now, I've attended for many years and will be there again in November. Now, first off, there's something for everyone who works in the shop. Just look at the training alone. Last year, Apex offered an entirely new program on shop technology, as well as servicing electric and alternative fuel vehicles. And sessions are taught by the best trainers in the industry. Apex also is your go-to place if you need tooling for the shop or if you want to see the latest new products. You can even talk with engineers who design scan tools and other products, or visit with the industry leaders who are working on your behalf to keep you on a level playing field with dealers and vehicle manufacturers. Hey, don't miss out. Mark your calendar now for Apex 2019, Tuesday, November 5th through Thursday, November 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. To learn more, visit aapexshow.com. John, I have a question about the longevity inside the industry. If 93% are placed, have you ever done the study on fallout? Are they still working after a couple of years?
Probably somewhere around 50% of our people who graduate are retained in the industry in some capacity. And others find other things, other industries that appeal to them or move on for other reasons, personal reasons, being the dominant criteria there. In the end of the day, you will be hard-pressed to go into a lot of businesses in Canada and not find one of my graduates from the Automotive Business School of Canada. We have deep connections to the industry through not only myself, but my colleagues, the other faculty who work at the Automotive Business School of Canada. And we're able to capitalize on those kinds of connections and get opportunities for students that no other program can really manage.
John, can you share with Carm about Aftermarket Day in November?
On November 20th this year, this is the 10th annual Aftermarket Day. It's for students. I organize it with some colleagues at the college. And we bring together people from the automotive aftermarket, specifically the aftermarket sector, to spend a day with students at the college. We do lunch and we do cookies. I was telling Bob before that my main function is to cook to bake the cookies. I tell my students that too, and they kind of chuckle a little bit. They know.
All right, okay. I'm a cookie guy, John. Oatmeal raisin, are you making?
Raisin and oatmeal this year seems to be popular, but the chocolate chips are always popular too. We do an annual day where we bring people together. We have vendors from the industry, manufacturers and jobbers and wholesalers. It's kind of like a trade fair to talk with students. We give away prizes at the end of the day, electronic prizes, laptops, this kind of thing, and some. The Automotive Industries Association of Canada, and Bob is a member there, also contributes heavily to the success of this event. And the students come away having a much better and more comprehensive understanding of the automotive aftermarket after having met people from the industry. That's really an important thing for them to do. That's the main purpose, really, is to bring people together.
That's a wonderful thing. Now, this event will be over. And think of the previous years you've had them. What are the students, Professor Jackson, saying about the aftermarket?
Students, I think, are not much more aware of what the automotive aftermarket is than most people in the community. It's a kind of a hidden industry. They can drive by 10 aftermarket shops on the way to work and not notice them at all. And you ask them, well, aftermarket, where's aftermarket? And they say, I don't know, it's invisible. They don't see what's right before them. And I think that's true for the students as well. Until they get introduced to what the industry is about, how it works, who does what, And then they see that the aftermarket is everywhere. And it means that there's a lot more opportunity in the automotive industry as a whole than they thought there was. They often come in thinking they're going to end up in a car dealership. And I think our stats show us about 30 or somewhere around 30% of them graduate and go into the aftermarket because they realize that's where there are some real opportunities for them.
Well, that's a good number. Bob, when you're in there and you're talking to the students, are you really the aftermarket guy who comes in, or are you just talking to them about them life and studies in general?
My purpose there is to give my perspective and update them on where the aftermarket is and where it's headed and where it's going, and give them some clear examples of what's taking place, and basically trying to give them something they can really relate to. So it clarifies them in their own mind, and have discussions with them, answer their questions. And they look at the clarity of the aftermarket. They can see it, but they don't feel it out there. And as John is right, we're hidden. And but they get excited about the concept of it.
It's totally amazing. You tell people what you do. You tell them the size of the industry that you're in and the number, at least the GDP, where we fit in the GDP here in the U.S. And they go, oh, Bob, I just had this wild thought to this whole image issue that we have.
The image that we have in the automotive aftermarket is slowly evolving. And I think it's evolving because of technology. As people embrace new technology and their new cars and the new models that come out, they begin to realize that there may down the road be issues with those technologies that they will need to have addressed. And the aftermarket will be the place to get some of those things done, or some of those repairs done in the future, because the industry itself will evolve to promote that kind of orientation towards the industry. It's a bit like pulling hen's teeth, though, for sure.
Scholarships. You had mentioned the support that you get from all aspects of the automotive industry. Are there a lot of scholarships to apply for?
2 weeks ago from today, we gave out $91,500 in scholarships and $50,000 more in scholarships that we have available that, frankly, students didn't apply for. So we've got to do a better job in letting them know where the money is. To put it in context, we offer more money in scholarships than all of the other programs at Georgian College where we're associated the Automotive Business School of Canada. We give away more money and scholarships than all of the other programs in the college put together.
And that says so much.
But it shows that we have those connections with industry, which really, like myself and Bob, but others too, we have those connections, and people find what we do for these young people to be valuable, and they want to contribute to that.
Say I was the son of a shop owner in Canada, and I wanted to go to the Automotive Business School of Canada. Of course, I'm not going to learn tech. I'm not going to learn wrenching and diagnostics. But when I come out, am I going to be a much better future CEO?
Well, if you attend my class and you pass, then I'm going to have to say yes.
So well said.
If you don't pass my class, then I'll have to say no.
I had an accounting teacher just like you back in the day. You want to be successful? He said, if you want to be successful, pass my class.
But on a more serious note, yeah, we do offer them an awful lot of opportunities to network with people from the industry. So one or two nights each semester, we have industry people come in. The students put on their suits and ties and meet with people from the industry. I had the student day that I organize with some other colleagues each fall. We have an auto show. I don't know if you know about the Georgian College Auto Show. We have an auto show, an outdoor auto show, every year. Usually we've organized it now, scheduled it for the first weekend in June. And our auto show is very popular. We attract 7,000 to 10,000 or more, even more people from the surrounding area who come to see the new, latest and greatest of the new cars. It's totally student run. It's the largest student run auto show in North America, and it's right here at the Automotive Business School in Canada.
Excellent. Yeah, that seems to be a fabulous recruiting tool.
We had about $10.5 million worth of cars on site last year. I will probably have more this coming year. Things are going well. And with all of that, students manage the entire show. We have a committee of students that are hired on a co-op basis, so they work on it for the whole year to have the show. It's like a laboratory for them, a lab, but it's a real-life kind of lab, and students have a chance to do a lot of different things with that particular show.
I love, Bob, what he said, to learn about the new tech. So, a question to help me clarify this. We're not necessarily talking classic as much as we're talking the current tech in cars. Are we talking a blend of everything? Is it classic cars and newer cars?
No, it's we have a whole variety. It's a big auto show. We'll have over 300 cars on our campus. Students are organizing teams by the vehicle brands mostly, but we also have teams that manage physical resources, for example. We have teams that are involved in bringing in some classic car vendors or classic car owners to have those available for demonstration. We do exciting events. We have a Porsche track in the last few years. We've had a Porsche track. It's very popular. You can get in the car with a professional driver, and they take you on a wild ride around the parking lot the latest Porsche technology, frighten as many people as they can with that. So there's a lot of things we add that aren't strictly about cars. If you've been to the Northwood show, you'll see that it's very esoteric, whereas our show is very dynamic. Students are engaged, they're active. People who come can talk to the students, and the students are enthusiastic about telling them about the cars. And we always, as well, have an aftermarket area or aftermarket section of the show where vendors come and participate in that sector.
How nice. My thought was, is that we're trying to change the image of our industry and to see the latest, greatest cars, and literally, a banner on the side of the car would say, "Hi, nice to meet you. I'm a computer on wheels." I just come back from Apex, and one of the takeaways was 50% of the cost of the vehicle, today or in the very near future, is going to be computers that are going to run that vehicle.
Your softline code is moving rapidly up, and when you get in up to 500 million lines of software code in the 2022 vehicle, look out. It's moving rapidly. It really is.
And that to me is what I find exciting about people looking at the automotive field, not as a stagnant, but as very dynamic and moving and high-tech industry. No matter what part of the industry that you want to work in, you're going to be working in high-tech. It just doesn't matter. There's nothing that you can't see, feel, or touch that's not going to involve technology.
We have developed at Georgian College a new building. We've put up a new building, a multi-million dollar facility. I think it cost us like $40 million to build this big building with all the glass paneling and all the classrooms and labs and this kind of thing. It's brand new on campus. We just opened this fall. Our leader, our president, and our leadership team at the college want us to do. I think everyone's fully in line with this idea, is to bring students together from different different silos of learning. So we bring together the engineering students with the business students, because often the engineering student has no idea how to run a business, and the business student knows nothing about engineering, and also web design, computer programming, and other associated fields. Our building is called an innovation and entrepreneurship building. And we hope to find ways. We're just starting now. We haven't had the building till just about a month ago. But we're hoping to be able to bring together students from different lines of learning or education, and have them collaborate about how different areas of the economy or different kinds of education needs to work together if we want to develop a robust industry.
I love it, John. Thanks. It kind of reminds me of something I was talking to a few people at Apex about, cross-functional project teams from all different,
right,
elements and areas. You get someone who loves the engineering side of the industry to talk to a person who loves the accounting or the business side. I think they've got to get a taste of the passion on both sides of the projects.
Oh, yes. We haven't started doing much of this yet. We're working towards that. It takes a bit of organization because we've for so long lived in our own silos of academia. But many faculty across the college, we all know each other, and there's some innovative minds and people who are in other areas that are beyond automotive, or computer, web design, engineering, automotive manufacturing technology. We have a program in that as well. So bringing students together is really something that is entrepreneurial. And it's innovative because no one else has really tried to do that. Especially no one else tried to do that with results aimed at, shall we say, the automotive industry broadly construed. So, yeah, why not try to do this thing? The other thing I want to do in the industry is have a similar approach to the aftermarket, because you need to have your technicians understand what your business manager is doing. And the business manager needs to know how to turn a wrench. And the accountant needs to understand, you know, what the marketing people are doing. And even in a small business, it's important that there be this kind of collaboration that I think is just not good enough in the industry. And if we can make a change and have our students come out with innovative ideas about how these different domains of knowledge and expertise can be brought together, then I think we'll do fine. I think our program will find value for people, and they'll want to come and study with us.
And this is one of the advantages that John brings to the class. I've sat in his class before, and he gives perspective. And it's, in my mind, I describe it as a global perspective when he sees everything and how it could be in the aftermarket. And the students listen intensely, and they start to see a new vision of what things could be, but how disconnected it really is. And I think by the time they finish his classes, his courses, they see, how am I going to help connect this industry? It could be exceptionally dynamic when it is connected.
Well, how exciting to hear all of this, that that there's this level of passion for the automotive, and especially Professor Jackson, the way you've embraced the aftermarket. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
When I first came to the Automotive Business School of Canada, back in those days, the last century, as a matter of fact, it was called the Canadian Automotive Institute, but we now call ourselves the Automotive Business School of Canada. But when I first arrived, there was no aftermarket. It was as if the industry didn't exist. It was all about new cars, and especially about vehicle dealerships, and frankly, not much more. But we've evolved over the years. We've added aftermarket, and I've worked to develop some courses with that. I have other colleagues who have brought their own expertise and knowledge and background and experience to developing these kinds of programs. And as a consequence, we have a pretty robust, well-rounded program. We know where the areas are that we're perhaps lacking, but for the most part, I think we're offering a pretty comprehensive education to young people who the industry desperately needs. And if we can get them out there and get them working and get them thinking about how to make the industry, successful, then we'll have done our part.
I remember even first time I was there, and John had asked me to come up, and I was overwhelmed. It's dealership, dealer, dealer, dealer everywhere. And I said, geez, how are we going to get the aftermarket in here? Well, he's put that forward. And over the years, the aftermarket at the college has become very strong. In fact, right now, the aftermarket has a gorgeous atrium. It's the aftermarket atrium in the college. It's a beautiful area, and monitors up there with various information on the aftermarket is continuously rolling out. And it's a lot of them go and have their quiet time there at this atrium. And it's very beautiful. It's well done, really well done.
Guys, if we had a chance to change the name aftermarket to something else, what would it be? And I only say that because every once in a while people stop and think, that's what we are, but does it really have the right, you know, is there any pizzazz, is there any pull there? I've thought of that a lot. I don't have an answer. But
it is a market. It's a secondary market, but that wouldn't do much good to call it a secondary market either. But I think that there's more that needs to be said about, it's not just the naming, but it's a perspective kind of thing. And the perspective is that we need to transition people in all areas of the automotive industry, including the aftermarket, into an understanding that it's really about personal mobility and more specifically, personal electromechanical mobility. It's not really about cars. You know, when I teach my history of the automobile course, and I've been doing that for a long time as well, when I teach about the development of cars from ancient times or from the 1800s through Carl Benz and Gottlieb Daimler and Henry Ford and all of the early developers of transportation, personal transportation, the auto industry really isn't about cars. And this, of course, when I say that to my students on the first day of classes, they look at me as if I have two heads because they're like, how could that possibly be the case when we came here to study cars, we paid our tuition, we want to learn about cars, and on the first day you tell us it's not about cars. And what gives here, right? So that kind of throws them off a little bit. It makes them think, though. And then when I teach my first lesson in aftermarket, in their third semester, I teach about the aftermarket. Guess what the first thing is? I tell them the aftermarket is not about parts. And again, they look at me as if I have like grown two more, and I have four heads now, because they don't, not quite sure what I'm saying. But I think it's when you look at it from a broader perspective, which is what I try to do, that it's really about personal electromechanical mobility. And not just personal mobility, because that might be confused with, you know, physiotherapy or some other fields like that. So it's really personal electromechanical mobility. It's a term that I have created because I haven't seen it written anywhere else. So I'm claiming that term as my own. Maybe I'm a little naive there, I suppose. But
say it one more time so we know you own it here.
Personal electromechanical mobility. PEM. I call it PEM. And my students all know what it is, even if nobody else does. In any event, the whole industry needs to be thinking more along the lines of personal mobility and less along the lines of product and technology. Because ultimately, when you look at other markets around the world, and I've traveled and worked in other countries in the automotive industry, and been rewarded handsomely, even by Queen Elizabeth, who awarded me with a medal for my work in the auto industry. What I have discovered is that regardless of where you might live and what market and what culture you might come from, it's all about mobility. It's not really about the cars or the parts or the repairs or the service. It's about human mobility. When you take that perspective, then that changes how you approach customers, how you approach your supply chain, how you approach your marketing, and so forth. So I'm trying to get people to understand the automotive industry, especially the aftermarket, from that perspective. I think if we can do that, then we can change some minds about what this industry has to offer.
I like your question, Carm, about what should we call this? Because every time I mention that I'm a management consultant to the automotive aftermarket, people, you work with the dealerships, which brand? I said, no, I don't do that. And I have to explain, it's the independent sector, that, you know, the corner garage and their parts distributor and the ones that fix your vehicle. And oh, those guys.
Yeah, aftermarket's secondary, and it's an afterthought.
Yeah.
And it is, you aren't worthy. That's why you're after all of us guys.
But if the industry wants to rebrand itself, though, it needs to, I think you're right by bringing up the issue, it needs to be rebranded. I know that some rebranding has happened in the U.S. and there's now a new name for the aftermarket there. I'm not sure that particular one would work here. But I do think that there is room for us to change and get a new perspective. And I think now is the right time for it, because as vehicle technologies change, and as all the vehicle manufacturers have all announced they want to bring in electric cars, autonomous transportation, and so forth, now might be a really good time for a rebranding of what the industry is, how we describe this particular sector of the economy.
So, Professor Jackson, you're saying auto care? Is that what you're really saying? We're in the auto care industry?
For auto care, yeah. I don't know that it works that well in Canada. I understand. I think that's probably good for the United States. If that works and they're finding success with that, then that's a good thing.
Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know that people have much sense of what it means to actually care about their cars, quite frankly. I know in the United States, you have about 450 million oil changes per year, only half of which are actually performed. So I don't know if people care all that much. I'm not sure the word care is good. Here in Canada, we also don't care that much, but we also don't call our industry the Care Association either.
Okay, I opened up a can of worms there. Thank you.
John, next time we're together, we're having dinner, we're going to have to discuss this carefully.
In fact, invite me. Now, Professor Jackson, I'm probably 2 hours from you as my car drives. So can I get an invite to next June to the car event?
Oh, or before then, if you want to come November 20th to the automotive aftermarket student day.
Well, that's just in a very few days. That's all right. Okay, let me look at my calendar. I'll get back to you. Wow, that would be a cool day trip, right, Bob?
You would enjoy that. I wish I was up there every year. I was able to be there. It's really
and the good. Cookies are really good too.
Yes.
Well, that was the reason. I'll bring a little brown bag. They won't even know there's a dozen missing. 2 hour trip home, huh? Little moo cow. All right. Hey, so let's go back to this whole renaming thing. And when I say TaaS to you, Professor Jackson, what's that mean?
As transportation as a service becomes more prominent in our society, we will see that people have less, I'm not sure the white is the right word, but less emotional or personal connection to the technology that provides them with transportation in their lives. People become disassociated. It's just a service. It's just a means of enhancing their personal mobility. And their personal mobility is far more important than whether they're getting transportation as a service or whether they have a vehicle owner or own a vehicle or have a lease or whatever. It's all about personal mobility. And so is transportation as a service. It's all about making people mobile regardless of what technology is employed.
Finally, the co-op program, which seems to be a centerpiece of what's going on at the school, the success of it. Can you explain the depth that the co-op program is in your program?
It's pretty central to what we do. We have a full-time coordinator. In fact, we have two of my colleagues who are full-time employed with finding co-ops for students. One of them works with the students, the other one works with the co-op employers, and they coordinate their activities. We have an entire system at the college, at the Automotive Business School of Canada, where students can go online and look for automotive jobs, potential automotive employment for full-time, as well as co-ops. And at any moment in time, we have, I'm guessing we have at any time, 150 employers willing and ready to take our students on in a co-op position. So it's pretty robust. And the industry gives us a tremendous support with that. Students, of course, benefit enormously from having two co-ops in the diploma and three co-ops in the degree program, where they go out and they can try different sectors. They can go and work in aftermarket for 4 months and paid. They're all paid co-ops. They're all paid, or they can go work in a dealership if they want to experience that, or they can go work in auto finance or any of a number of other sectors. And when they're able to get those kinds of experiences, then when they eventually graduate with a diploma or a degree program, they're pretty much ready for the working world. Because we've given them some of the academics, they've got some of the practical, real-world experience from their co-ops, and you put that together, it's a pretty good package for young people.
There's some great perspective, too, about the industry and how it really works versus just going to school and never having any real time at each division of the industry.
I encourage students to take at least one of their one of the two if they're a diploma or one of the three if they're a degree co-ops. In the aftermarket, so that they can understand in a more comprehensive way, in a more practical way, what the industry is about. And many of them come back saying, wow, that was different than I expected, but I learned so much. And that's some music to my ears. When students can learn about the industry where they already have some passion and learn that there are other opportunities they never even dreamed were out there, then the co-ops, when the co-ops do that, then we know that we're on the right track.
Hey, Bob, thanks for bringing Professor Jackson to the show. I appreciate that.
I thought he'd be a great addition. He's very knowledgeable. Him and I have a great relationship. I love his perspectives, his depth. He has traveled the world. He has taught in other countries about the aftermarket, about the industry. I just thought he'd be a great exposure to your listeners from a perspective and hear different views.
And you offer your learning management system to the students, don't you?
Yes, we donate it to the college and allow them to adjust it as any which way they want. And they'll use part of it as part of their curriculum. We've set up a system where they allow us, what part do you want it? And then our people, Graham and Jonathan, will adapt it so that the professor can use it any which way they want. They can follow the student in that development. And I think we upped it to, what, 85%, John, that you require to pass the e-learning center?
Right, yeah.
And then at the end, and usually it's on aftermarket day this November, we present them with a diploma for completing what was the requirement. So to me, it's getting to the next generation and giving back to the industry. We do it at absolutely no charge.
Kudos, high five to you, Bob. Thank you so much. And thank you to
And yes, high fives to Bob is right, because we find that his automotive aftermarket e-learning center, the online access, is becoming a real integral part of what we offer our degree students at the college.
Excellent. So glad. Hey, thank you so much to John Jackson, Professor, Automotive Business School of Canada. And thanks to Bob Greenwood, President and CEO of the Aftermarket e-learning center. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Professor John Jackson and Bob Greenwood, for informing us about the Automotive Business School of Canada, where you are helping to pave a great foundation for aftermarket students to make it in this industry. Your contributions to the aftermarket gives us a brighter future ahead and ensures the cycle will continue. The link to the show notes, remarkableresults.biz/E396. Hey, don't forget the books page on the website. All the books we talk about on the podcast are there for your review. You can even order printed or audio versions. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm sure you agree, your learning curve never sounded this good.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.